This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the May 25th edition of InvestTalk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. We're here to help you build a stronger foundation for your financial decisions. And we focus on investing to make your money grow, but that foundation is built on realistic goals. I mean, you can't be unrealistic in your, and that is a typical amateur mistake. I'm going to make a killing. That's amateurish, everybody. Now, we're going to talk some about selling today, mutual funds in particular. So much of our deliberation is about picking funds or stocks and buying them. Not enough is spent on selling them. Now, buy and hold, even buy and hold is not forever. So our main talking point is going to be 8 reasons to dump a mutual fund. That's going to be the main talking point. As you know, we have a number of them, but that's one. We welcome your questions, comments during the hour and beyond with our 24-hour list line. You can call anytime you want. We do get questions from time to time about a group of stocks trading on what is called pink sheets. Pink sheets. And these are generally referred to as penny stocks, everybody. Pink sheets mean they're not selling on the exchange, the New York Exchange, the NASDAQ Exchange. They're selling off of those exchanges. Okay? Many amateur investors believe that's where they're going to make the next huge killing. Can't do it. Most of these penny stocks traded under pink sheets. Most of them are selling for under $5, and many, many, many of them under $1. Each of these stocks has a good story to tell. Story. It's a story they're weaving. They're telling you a tale. The stock is typically pumped up by news releases or articles or public comments by the CEO and his cohorts. There is one simple rule when it comes to investing in penny stocks. One rule when it comes to investing in penny stocks. Don't do it. Do not buy them. How's that? That's the rule. Don't do it. Now, there are a number of reasons for this rule. First, these stocks don't trade on exchange, so that you don't have a clear picture of what the value is. They don't trade. There's not a lot of volume. They could, though. They might trade on exchange, but they generally don't. Because the exchanges have rules, compliance rules, valuation rules, stability rules, and many of these penny stocks don't fit them. Second, penny stocks are sold to the unwary, to people you will get in the mail a news release or a report that will extol all the virtues of the holding of the stocks and none of the problems. Remember, it's a story they're weaving. A story. These articles are released by paid writers. They usually get paid in stocks, penny stocks. They pump up the stock and then sell it. Pump and dump is what we call it. They pump and dump. Almost all penny stocks do not make any money, don't have any hope of making money. It's a story. Remember my other rule about buying stocks? Always buy stocks that make money. Always. So be careful about that part of my industry, okay? Now, of course, there are penny stocks that make huge amounts, and you'll see them, and they'll be advertising, and they'll tell you this is the next one that will make huge amounts and talk you into buying more, and it's just a waste of your money. You're going to lose your money. You will. Don't do it. Don't. Do you have questions about penny stocks or annuities or IPOs? Well, let's talk about it. Our listen line is always open, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime line. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So let's get to the questions that came in before the program.
Good afternoon, Steve and Justin. This is Frank in Walnut Creek. I have a question about public participation in the stock market now, and we hear that 5 or 6 stocks are currently basically carrying the market. Those are the Apples and the Googles and so forth. And the next thing I was concerned about is that we've often heard that the smart money sells to the dumb money at the top of the market. And I'm trying to figure out, is the public or the slash dumb money participating in the market now, and how do you calculate that? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Those are all good questions, and it's very difficult how to calculate all that. No one rings a bell. No one tells you this is it. No one tells you. You don't know exactly who's buying and who's selling. You don't know that at the time. You don't. Okay, so I wish there was something easy that you're going to look at and say, oh, okay, this is what's happening. You can only get hints whether, you know, the market is topping or whether it's bottoming or whether it's getting too frothy. One of the things you can tell at a top is no one is worried. If no one's worried about the market being at a new top, new 52-week high, and keep going up, no one's worried, that's a sign of a top. The problem is that could last months, if not a year or two. That could last a long time, or it could last a week, a day. But that's one of the signs. No one is worried about the market. I like to also look at valuations. When the valuations get very high, I get very nervous. And that's another sign. Now, many ways you can look at the market, the valuations are pretty high. Pretty high. I mean, you're looking at, a P ratio of 20? 19, 20? And the average PE over long periods of time is 15. And there's other ways to look at that. Shiller PE, there's other ways to look at it too. But does that mean it's going to turn over and go down the next day? No. I wish I could tell you. It's not. There's no crystal ball, everybody. There's only hints and things that you can use your common sense and your experience to tell you that, well, this doesn't seem right. And I can tell you honestly, I think the market doesn't seem right to me. It seems really expensive at this point. But it can stay expensive. I've said that many times. It can stay expensive forever. And our earnings were actually pretty good this most recent quarter. That bolsters the story that the market should keep going up. Interesting things happening. 8 reasons to dump a mutual fund. That's one of our talking points. I may not go through all 8 reasons. Some of them are pretty minor reasons, but we'll go through all the major ones. Also, I want to talk profit growth of the S&P 500 in the first quarter. Most of the companies have reported, and we have the facts are in, and so I want to discuss it. Also want to talk about Shell Oil and what it's doing to OPEC. OPEC, remember OPEC is having a meeting, and it looks like they're going to try to continue their production cuts. Mm-hmm. Well, what about our Shell, U.S. Shell production? Is that going to go down too? And finally, Costco versus Amazon, which is better? Where should you buy your stuff? Amazon or go to Costco? What do you think? I got pros and cons for both. And so those are things we're going to talk about. But, of course, you always come first. The market today was up. Dow up 71. The Nasdaq up 42. And the S&P up 11. So what is that, 6 days in a row that the market's gone up? Now, how many days in a row do you think it should go up before it stops? Before it has down days. Now, this is 6 days in a row after a huge down day, but today broke above the old 52-week high on most of the indexes, so it made up the losses on that huge down day a week plus ago, 7 days ago. And so now we're moving on to it's a newer high today, and that's kind of bullish. Now, what's really interesting is not making the new high on lots of volume. Not doing that, but the MACD and various others, relative strength indicators, are worrisome to me. Okay, so there's all kinds of charting things, and it only gives you hints. Doesn't tell you what's going to happen; just gives you hints. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I'll be in San Jose on June 14th for retirement reviews. June 14th. You heard me talk about these one-on-one meetings. I can only do a few each month, everybody. I mean, it takes a lot out of me. But I think they're good. I do enjoy them. I do want to do them, so don't hesitate. But when I do so many in one day, my voice starts to give out. I will say that. But if you want to meet with me June 14th in San Jose, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. It's an email that comes directly to me. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific Time.
Justin and Steve, this is Pete from Minnesota calling about a stock by the name of Hanes Brands Incorporated. HBI is the ticker symbol. They've been on a downward trend recently, and I'm just wondering if this is a value trap or if this is the time to get in. Thanks.
Well, I don't think it's a value trap. I think it's time to get in. HBI, Hanes Brands, manufactures T-shirts, bras, panties, men's underwear, kids' underwear, socks, hosiery, casual wear, and active wear. It is a $7.3 billion company. They sell about $1.3 to $1.5 billion worth of goods every quarter. So the price-to-sales ratio is telling you this thing is cheap. They're going to make $2.14 next year. It's a $20 stock. So it's an under 10 PE. And the five-year average range is 10 to 24. Sales growth is 11, 12, 13% per quarter, the last three quarters. So, and it pays a 3% dividend. We own this in some of our managed accounts. We recently purchased it not too long ago. I think this is a good place to buy. Good place to buy. It looks like a very deep value stock to me with some growth prospects. What are the warts? You know, you always look at the warts. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? It has a lot of debt. And that worries me a bit, that debt they're carrying. Return on equity is 57%. I do like the fact that insiders are buying down here in these prices. So mutual funds are about the same as they were about a year ago. So that's not much going on there. I would like to see more mutual fund participation. That'll drive the stock up. But I do like it. It's a good value here and pays a decent dividend, and dividend looks pretty secure. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Reasons to sell. Reasons to dump your mutual fund. And these are basic things. You know, you buy a mutual fund and most people don't pay much attention, but you really should. You really should. Well, so what are some of the reasons to actually get out of a fund? Well, there are pretty good reasons. There really are. One would be just a simple fact that you need to rebalance your portfolio. Maybe, you know, this mutual fund and this area of the market that the mutual fund invested is now been very strong, and it now dominates. This type of mutual fund now dominates your portfolio. Then you have to rebalance it. There's a reason to sell some. Management changes at the mutual fund. The mutual fund changes management. The person that was there and had all this great performance in the past is no longer there, and now some other person is there. It's a reason to sell the mutual fund. How about your life cycle change? You, things that within your life as the investor. Maybe you're getting close to retirement and you don't want to be in these high-tech growth mutual funds that you have, because you don't have a lot of time if it happens to tank on you. Or maybe you just become more knowledgeable, you. More knowledgeable, and you think, well, you know what, I can do this myself. Maybe I want to buy some ETFs and not mutual funds. So you just, you know, rotate out of them. And those are some of the reasons. You know, maybe something better comes along. Maybe it's simple as that, and you want to get into that. Don't know. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. The number is 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now if you like, 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. I'm open to any money questions, and you can do it right this minute. We're going to go ahead and talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for my call.
Thanks for making it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about SLB.
Okay.
I was thinking about picking some up maybe after it levels off a little bit, because it's been dropping the last probably month or so.
That's a Schlumberger. Provides technical services, project management, and information solutions to petroleum industry worldwide. Okay, so why has it gone down? Because we have plenty of oil out there, And, you know, we don't really need their services as much as we do if we were still looking for more and drilling and using it all up. So that's one of the reasons why it's falling, is because the whole sector is, not because of it particular. It pays a 2.9% dividend. It's going to make $3.01 next year after making $1.49 this year. So it's going to jump sharply, and that's going to bring it to PE up to about 21, bring it down to about 21, 22 or so. Most recent quarter, it turned around its sales. It grew instead of fallen, because it's been falling for a long time. I think you wait on this one, Art. Wait till it stops falling, because it's still falling. It's still on its downward trend. So I think you wait till it starts moving sideways and then up. Maybe wait for it to break above the 20-day moving average, coming back up, and then buy it then, because then at least you know you're buying it on a little bit of an uptrend. And I think you'd be smarter to do that. Okay?
All right.
Thanks.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call. SLB Schlumberger. That's how you say it. Schlumberger. And I'm not a very good enunciator of some of these names, so forgive me if I mess it up. 888-99-CHART. So let's talk about U.S. oil. Since Schlumberger was on there, U.S. shale oil production and OPEC. OPEC is having a heck of a time. They're meeting right now. The assumption is they're going to keep curtailing their production, reducing it by 2%, which is not a lot, by the way. But the reason why they're doing that is, remember how they really tried to force the shale oil producers out of business by getting the oil price really low? That failed. And now, just the opposite is happening. Shale oil producers are putting the pressure on them, because our output now, our meaning the U.S., is 9.9 million barrels of barrels a day, projected to be by 2018. 9.1 million barrels a day. That is like the highest rate that we've ever had. So OPEC has to remember, they want higher prices because that's how they survive. Most of those OPEC countries, this is their whole economy. And Russia being part of them, this is their economies. Oil, they need higher prices, even though their production costs are very low. They spend the money, just like every government in the world does, spend the money, and now they need it. They need higher oil prices. They need it. They could pump more oil, but the demand's not there. So they're kind of forced to cut their production. So that's what's going on. Why has shale oil producers done this? Well, a couple of reasons. They have gotten much more efficient. Okay, they have innovated and they cut costs when they're doing this hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling. Which we, the U.S., invented and pioneered, and we're perfecting more and more and more. And it's producing more oil at lower costs. At the same time, private equity, in other words, money coming from investors are pouring into this area still. So there's all this money that these shale oil producers have to spend. So that's going to drive production up. And that drives OPEC crazy, because that drives prices down. So this Memorial Day weekend, you should have a pretty good lower price on oil. It's a good thing. It is a good thing. You know, it is interesting that, we have been so dependent on Middle East oil that now that we're becoming less and less dependent, it seems like our relationship, based on what I see Trump doing, is better with these Middle East countries, because maybe we're not so dependent on them. Maybe he can wiggle some better terms out of them. I think Trump's a great negotiator. He's flawed, but he's a great negotiator. And maybe because our demand is not so great from those countries anymore, that, it helps our economy and helps, foreign policy in that area. I don't know. Seems like it. Maybe not. I'm not smart enough to know all those things. But I do think us producing more and more oil is helping greatly in many ways. Many ways. It's keeping prices down for the consumer. We love that. You at the pump, you're paying much less at the pump. I like that. That's good. Be sure to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program, everybody. It's a source of good information, up-to-date financial news and insight, and a whole library of timely info sheets and recorded webinars. It's free. Just click on the Invest Talk tab on investtalk.com.
Invest Talk continues next. First, a word for KPP Financial, and it's all about growth. For the investor who is looking for optimum growth and is not averse to a higher level of risk, this investment program steps up for you. It's called Disciplined Equity, a program from KPP Financial. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing only on high-quality companies. It's more aggressive than our normal stock program. And although the portfolio is concentrated, it limits exposure to any one sector of the market. To find out more about it, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com or click on Contact Steve, and he'll be glad to fill you in. You can ask any question you'd like. And as with all of our programs, a KPP Financial principal is personally invested right alongside their clients. This parallel investing is your assurance of optimum care and diligence. Check it out on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we continue now on this Thursday, May 25th. And we welcome your question. Any money question will do. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name is Owen, and I'm a new listener. I've been listening for about a week now. I have kind of just a general question. I'm 27 years old, and I was wondering what type of general advice you would give somebody my age about investing. Any thoughts you have on that would be great. I'm really enjoying the show so far, so keep up the great work. Thanks.
Okay, for young people, persons, my suggestion would be just get started. Don't wait till you become knowledgeable and know what you're doing. Just start putting money aside, and just buy the S&P 500. That's it. Buy the index, and just get started early. The earlier you get started, the better, and you just keep putting money away. Just keep doing it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Don't panic. Is the market going to crash, or is the market at the bottom, or is it at the top? Don't worry about it, because no one can guess those things. But just keep doing it. And when the market goes down, you want to do it even more because you're getting it cheaper price. Always think that when the market goes down, it's going on sale. You want to buy things on sale. So when the market crashes, which it does in recessions, that's when you want to be the most aggressive about buying. And everybody worries, but it's still falling. I don't want to put money and lose more money. Well, you're not going to lose the money until you start taking it out, and you've taken it out right at the bottom. So don't take it out. Leave it alone. You've seen that work in 2009 when the market went down 50% or so. Came all back within a year. Didn't even take that long. So don't panic. Buy. And just hold on. Buy the indexes. When you first start out, that's all you should do. You're not knowledgeable enough to buy individual stocks. And you're going to be really tempted. Oh, but I like this company, Apple, GoPro, Netflix, or whatever it is you like, Tesla. You're going to fall in love with it. That is a very classic rookie mistake. People don't even realize they fall in love with it. You know how you can tell if you fell in love with a stock? Is that you really don't have the reasons why you bought it, other than you liked it. You don't have any reasons. You like it. Oh, it's cool. It's been going up, and everybody does it. And, whatever it is you're saying to yourself, that's why you're buying it, not because it's a good value or, it's growing fast. I know the sales trajectory. Many people don't even pay attention to that stuff and stocks they want to buy. Time for InvestTalk 101, everybody. When you buy and sell stocks, you sign on for an up-and-down ride, right? Sometimes gains or sometimes the losses of... And sometimes these gains and losses don't seem logical. And at other times, you can't help wonder, why is it you know, you wonder, well, why is it going up or down? It makes no sense, especially when if you have earnings, earnings come in and they're better than expected, and the stock goes down. Makes no sense. What's going on? So how do you make sense of all this? In general, it's best to ignore the very short-term movements and trust your research. I've said this before. On a day-to-day basis, the stock market is like a child. One day, they can be very rational. Next day, it can throw a fit for no reason. A stock, the stock market, doesn't have to be rational in the short term. It's very rational long term because it all comes down to the earnings. But on a day-to-day basis, no. You just can't know. It's a long path, everybody, to make money. It's not a short path. It's long. Long, and you really have to learn your technicals and your fundamentals of the company. And that's Invest Talk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in right now, 888-99-CHART, or make it a personal note to me. You can do that directly. Just go click on Contact Steve at investtalk.com.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. Balanced income, steady yield, and moderated risk. If you'd like to know more about it, go to investtalk.com and just click on the Investments tab, and you'll see it listed right there.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Love the show, longtime listener. I have a question here. I've been watching Electronic Arts for a while. I see it's moved up nicely. A lot of good numbers, future growth and everything. Sales are looking good. And I see the IBD gives it a buy rating and rates it really high on their chart. I'm just wondering, what do you guys feel about this? Considering putting some money into it and just leaving it there for a while and seeing how it does, it looks like a good stock. So curious as to your guys' thoughts on this. Thanks. Take care.
You're chasing performance on this. EA is a very good company, Electronic Arts. Develops video game software and content for play on game consoles, PCs, handheld platforms. And yeah, the earnings are looking good. Sales are looking good. Everything's looking in the right way. And of course, everybody's seen that. Everybody knows that. And they're bidding up the price. It's at a new 52-week high at $113.83. They're going to make $4.95 next year. So that's a what? A 21 PE or so? Okay, which is not super unreasonable. It's not. It has a good return on equity. But you are chasing performance. I mean, in the beginning of the year, this was selling over $80. Now it's $113. So, you know, it's gone up and up and up. And just recently jumped up because of earnings. I think you wait. You'll get an opportunity in it. It'll pull back. How far, I don't know. It's a really good company. Not much debt. It's got a lot of things going for it. But, you know, I don't like chasing performance. So I'd wait for some kind of pullback in the stock. EA is a symbol. Let's go to Bobby in Mountain View. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, how are you doing, Steve? I love your show. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Just had a quick question. What are your thoughts on Hershey's? The ticker symbol is HSY. Is it a good time to buy it?
I like Hershey. It broke above its 52-week high. It broke above resistance. And this thing has gone up in the last 8 days in a row. It's gone up from $108 to $115 in about 7 or 8 days. So it fundamentally is going to make $5.23 next year. It's a $115 stock. So you're talking about a 23 PE or so. And its five-year range is 20 to 29. So it's at the lower range, has a return on equity of 100%. It's got some, and pays a 2.1% dividend. I like Hershey a lot. HSY is a symbol. Now, would I be a buyer at 115? I might, Bobby, buy half a position here and hope for a pullback to put the other half on. This is one of those companies, it's a $24 billion company. This is a blue chip core holding. You buy it, hopefully, at the right and just hold on to it.
Okay.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. HSY. It makes me nervous buying something at a new 52-week high, and but it's not that overpriced. It's not like, wow, it's, you know, really high price. I'm a little concerned about debt on Hershey, a little bit, but not too bad. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, profit growth. How did the S&P 500 in the first quarter? What were the profits for the S&P 500 companies in the first quarter? Because almost all of them have reported now all their first quarter results. And profits were up 13.6% from the year earlier. That's pretty strong growth. And that's the highest growth since 2011. So, you know, you got to be impressed. But what about the quality of those earnings? Remember, earnings per share is what we base this on. It's up 13%. But wait a minute. What if the number of shares was reduced by share buybacks and making it look like the companies really grew their sales and earnings when maybe they didn't? There's just less shares outstanding to split the earnings about, or, you know, among, and it looks like it is good earnings when it's really not. They can do that. But there's signs of strength, corporate strength, and it looks like share buybacks are falling. So these earnings look pretty quality, okay, because it's a result of improving fundamentals of the companies, not necessarily financial engineering of the numbers. And this should continue through this year because the economy is pretty stable. Corporate earnings are going to be pretty good. You have various economies around the world starting to improve after being in such terrible shape for a long time. So sales are picking up. And therefore, the quality should improve. Now, of course, at some point, they won't. At some point, we'll go into recession, but we're not there. We're going to go to Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. This is regarding the stock Roman Farman. Symbol BF.B.
BF.B?
Yeah, Roman Farman.
I'm looking for it. Not showing up there. Let me see if I... B-O-W-M-E-N?
Brownman. B-R-O-W-N. Brownman Farman. It's a spirits company.
It's a British company?
Spirits.
Okay. Do you know if it's trading on our exchanges?
Yes.
Okay.
Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
Okay, then.
Farman, F-O-R-M-A-N, Farman.
Okay, it's under BFB with no dot on my systems.
Yeah.
Okay, Brown Forman Corporation, it is a company out of Kentucky. Manufacturer and distributes alcohol beverages under the Jack Daniels, Finlandia, and other brands. So it's an alcohol maker. They're going to make $1.87 next year after $1.74 this year. Sales are flat and have been for a couple of years. Their sales have not grown. And they're going to make $1.87. It's a $51 stock. I would make me nervous because it's not making much money. It's not growing like you would want it to. And something's happened because the stock price has skyrocketed just recently. Did it get bought out by somebody?
I wonder. Yeah, they have some talks going on Constellation Brands.
Yeah, something's going on with the company, and I'd have to look it up. Fundamentally, it doesn't look that great. Management owns 19%, which is really good. Mutual funds are almost exact same they were a year ago they are today. And that's kind of strange. Usually there's sellers or buyers. But recently it's just gone up very sharply. I wonder, has that been the earnings? Has it been really good earnings recently? That's been
no, there is a talks for this acquisition, takeover by Constellation Brand, it seems. That's what I know. I don't know. There is
Yeah, it must be
some news came out.
Yeah, it's news driven and some kind of good news on it. But I still think, you know, it's not, it's a $20 billion company. It's not small. But I think, you know, this is a company you want to wait till it's cheap. It was cheap at 44, but now that it's at 51, I'm not so sure. It was at 44 just a month or two ago. But it would not be for me. I don't see enough growth in it to make me want to buy it. There is no growth.
Okay.
Robbie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? You know, we can talk about anything financial. Did you see the housing numbers? In the last couple of weeks, we had housing starts last week, and they were down a little bit, if you remember right. But they weren't down in single-family homes. They were up. But multifamily homes, apartments, condominium apartment buildings, they were down. And then this week, you had new home sales and existing home sales, and both of those were down pretty sharply. At the same time, builder sentiment is up. Up. Builders are pretty confident. So if you look at, well, why are they confident when sales are down? Well, and you know, not new construction is down, new home sales is down, existing home sales is down. Well, the new home sales and existing home sales, well, the speculation is the reason why they were down is because there was not enough inventory. There's not enough inventory to meet the demand. Now, that's a good problem to have. It's a problem, but it's a good problem. You got buyers, you just don't have any product to sell to them. So the housing market is still pretty darn healthy. And have you seen the mortgage rates have been, they're pretty darn low. And the Fed is going to be raising rates probably in June. And that will impact the mortgage rates. But think about it. They've already raised it twice. And mortgage rates are still very low. They have not gone up. They initially go up when the Fed initially raises the rates, and then they slowly back off. They have so far, anyways. Don't know if that will continue. Let's go to Frank in San Jose. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. You want to talk about VMware?
Absolutely.
Okay. You want to buy it?
Yeah. Potentially.
Okay.
Would it be a good idea?
Okay, let's take a look. I don't know if everybody knows it, but it provides virtualization software enabling or organizations to run multiple operating systems on a single computer. So that makes sure they do a lot of video. They're pretty cutting edge stuff, VMware. They're going to make $4.87 next year after making $4.69 this year. It's a $96 stock. So it's about a 19 PE, 18 PE. And the PE range is 11 to 39 the last 5 years. Very good return on equity at 23%. Great cash flow. Doesn't pay a dividend. Management owns 1%. I'm not sure about that. But it's a $40 billion company, and they're still growing their sales 9, 10% every quarter. Pretty good company. You know, it's been raising, been going up a long time. You're going to be chasing if you buy it now. I don't know if I'd do that. 888-99-CHART. This is the Best Talk. Give me a call. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Tom in San Jose. How you doing, Tom?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's a great show, and I totally admire it.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about Bitcoin in general,
mm-hmm.
and also a specific question about GBTC. The symbol is for the Bitcoin Investment Trust. It's going up.
Yes.
The past few days.
Yeah,
what's happening. So I just want to know the rational or.
Well, no, it's kind of irrational at this point. But Bitcoin has gone up about 400% in a year. Okay, the value of Bitcoins. So that's kind of irrational, but that's its history. I don't know if you notice, but its history is it's gone down to very fast and just got crushed, and then up. It does this every so often, and now it's pretty high, and I'm a bit worried that it's probably gotten ahead of itself. And if you want to buy Bitcoin, Tom has the right exchange-traded fund to do so. He mentioned GBTC, G, that's George, Boy, Tom, Charlie. And in its exchange-traded note, seeking performance corresponding to the Bitcoin market price. So it's trying to track the value of Bitcoins. That's what it's doing. It's doing a pretty good job of it, actually. And it has shot up from like 250 to 270 up to 477 in what? In a very short period of time. So, Tom, I wouldn't chase it here. I kind of think Bitcoin has a future. I mentioned this the other day. I think electronic money, I guess we should call it, I think it's here to stay, and I think Bitcoin is going to be one of the leaders. I think it's going to continue going up. It just won't be up in a straight line. It won't. Okay? Tom, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, should you buy stuff at Costco or should you buy stuff at Amazon? Now, you probably say, well, wait a minute. Amazon's not a retailer and Costco is. Well, Amazon is too a retailer. You buy stuff there, don't you? It's a retailer. I think it's a retailer. But I have people arguing with me about that. But which is better? Okay, it costs $60 a year to become a member of Costco, right? And Amazon, it costs $99 for a membership if you want two-day delivery and a couple of some other perks. Costco, so what is there different things you should buy that Costco versus Amazon? Did you get better deals? Well, Costco, if you want to buy bulk items, of course, that's where you go. You go to Costco, not Amazon. They also have very good deals on perishables. Amazon is just getting into groceries. They have a division called Amazon Fresh, which is a grocery delivery system. But they're just getting into that work. You know, I buy a lot of food products at Costco. Costco is the world's largest organic grocery seller. Did you know that? They are. Now, if you're going to buy stuff on Amazon, the best you get much better deals there than Costco if you buy books, CDs, or DVDs, printers, and diapers. Much better at Amazon than at Costco. Bulk items and perishable items are really good at Costco. And Costco is testing a delivery system in Tampa. Their products, whereas so we'll see. I like both, but I do shop at Costco a lot myself. Let's go to Ruby in San Jose. How are you doing, Ruby?
Hey, I'm doing good.
What can I do for you?
I would like to know about symbol AQMS.
I gotta go real quick. Produces pure lead by recycling and use lead acid batteries via a proprietary electronic chemical process. It's a very tiny company. They're going to make money for the first time next year, but so far they've lost money. So this would be a very highly speculative company. And you can see, by the way, it's traded. It's very high risk. It wouldn't be for me. Too risky and too small. It's only a $200 million company. But, you know, if you want to roll the dice and gamble, you could try it, but I would not. Time's up for this session, everybody. I thank you for listening and joining in today. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I will get back to you, I promise. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with me today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.